Well, how are you doing with the no complaint challenge that you got issued last week, huh? How many of you really you're trying not to complain? You're really trying not to complain. All right, the rest of you got to catch up now. You got to catch up. And here's why. One of the things that I found out this week was how much we really do complain, but particularly how much I really do complain. And it makes such a difference when you start replacing your complaints with thanksgivings to God. When you start to give thanks to God instead of complaining, it's amazing the difference in your life. So you got 2 more weeks, 21 days, right? Some of you are like, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I think it's great when we remind ourselves of what it is that we're supposed to be about. Now, today we're going to talk about praise. And we're going to talk about a psalm of praise. We're going to read together Psalm 150. And it's hard to talk about praise without talking about thanksgiving. And it's hard to talk about thanksgiving without talking about praise, because they seem to be related. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to join with me. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His mighty heaven. Praise God for His mighty works. Praise God's unequaled greatness. Praise God with a blast from the ram's horn. Praise God with the lyre and the harp. Praise God with the tambourine and dancing. Praise God with strings and flutes. Praise God with a clash of cymbals. Praise God with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful once again for the opportunity to gather together and worship. We're thankful, Lord, for the way that Your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far, and we pray that Your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that You have for us today might be more than just information. But we pray, Lord, that Your words might transform us, that Your words might transform us from the inside out, and that we might leave this place with our hearts transformed because we stopped to spend some time with You. All this we ask in the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray together, saying amen. You know, it's fascinating to me, this idea of praise and thanksgiving and how they're interrelated and what it means to praise God, what it means to praise God. The psalmist closes out the book of the Psalms. The Psalms are closed out with Psalm 150, this hymn of praise, this praise to God. And it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And it says over and over again, praise God here, praise God this way, praise God that way, praise the Lord. Now, in our day, sometimes we hear this phrase, praise the Lord, it gets a little overused, I think. And we need to stop for a minute and think about what it means to say, praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for praise is hallel, hallel. Hallel is the word that we get hallelujah from, okay? So the Hebrew word for praise is hallel. And the interesting thing about the word hallel is it doesn't just have the meaning praise. It also means to shine. Isn't that interesting? It means to shine, to shine. So when we're praising God, we are shining for God. And of course, we know that we don't shine on our own, but we are just a reflection of the light, of the goodness of God when we sing praises. And it fascinates me how little One of the things I learned last week, as I told you, is how little I give thanks and how much I complain. Well, I don't give praise to the Lord enough either. That's one of the things I think this no complaint challenge of 21 days is going to teach me. It's that I don't praise God enough. And you know, if you just think about our world, if you just think about this earth, this wonderful planet that we live on, you know, sometimes we focus on what's wrong with this planet, and my goodness, there's a lot wrong, isn't there? One of the things we're going to do a week from tomorrow is we're going to gather together and we're going to pray for our planet. We're going to pray for the earth. We're going to pray for the people in it. But you know, one of the things that we neglect is that we neglect to remember how fascinating, how marvelous, how wonderful this planet is. When you stop and you look at it, when you stop and you pay attention. And that's the key, I think, to praise, is you have got to be paying attention. My son Noah, when he was probably 4 or 5, we were riding in the car one day, and we have to be going through a rural area, and there were some woods over on the passenger side, over on the right. And Noah said, "Dad, do you think that there are panthers in those woods over there?" And I said, "Panthers?" So I'm trying to think, panthers, what do I know about panthers? I don't know a thing about panthers, except that they're the, you know, the mascot for Portland. So I'm going, you know, Portland High School, going, "Panthers, panthers, what do I know about panthers?" I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "You know, when we get home, we'll look up some stuff about panthers." And it was fascinating, because when we got home, we broke open his little encyclopedias, and we looked up panthers, and we found out all these interesting things about panthers. What they do, where they live, the fact that they're probably not in the woods out in Sumner County anywhere. No panthers here. No worries there. But it's fascinating to me, because often children are the ones who see the wonder in the world when we do not, aren't they? Children are the ones who point out the wonder that is in this world, the greatness, the goodness of creation, the fascination that we could have when we start to pay attention. Because you see, I'm afraid that a lot of us, what we do is we get into routines, and we get up and we get ready and we go to work and we work and we eat lunch and we work and then we come home and we watch TV and then we go to bed and we kind of start the process over and over again. And we forget the wonder that this world that God has created, the wonder, the splendor, the awesomeness in it. And it doesn't matter to me. You know, some people like to go to the ocean. I kind of like to go to the ocean and the beach. You can go to the ocean, or you can go to the mountains, or you can go anywhere in between. And when you start to get out into the creation, into the glory of God, why wouldn't you start going, "Praise the Lord"? I mean, really, when you think about it. I mean, when you stand on the beach and you're standing at the edge of the ocean and you're looking out, you think about how vast the ocean is, how many creatures are in the ocean, what the ocean is like. We should, if we think about it, be praising God, shouldn't we? We should say, "Praise the Lord." Or if we're standing, looking at the mountains, I mean, if you go out to the Smokies and you look at the beauty and the majesty, they should make us fall on our face and go, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." But too often, I think we get caught up in the routine, in the ordinary, in our everyday lives, and we forget how much this planet, this life that God has given us, calls forth praise from us. It actually calls us to be people of praise. I found this great, great quote from Helen Keller. And you know who Helen Keller was? The woman who was both blind and deaf because of a fever that she had as a child, and who, through the works of her teacher, became a very remarkable, remarkable person. But Helen Keller, who was, did I mention that she was blind? Did I mention that she was deaf? Let me say that one more time. Did I mention that she was blind and that she was deaf? You know this about Helen Keller? This is what she said. Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing. Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing. Now, this comes from somebody who could not see what you and I can see, who could not hear what you and I could hear, who could not have experienced what you and I have experienced, except that she experienced it through somebody else, and who has the gall to say, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. And you see, one of the things I think that happens when you start praising God is that you're going to realize that life is indeed a daring and wonderful adventure when you start to praise God and when you start to pay attention and you start to notice around you all the things in this earth that we could give thanks for and thanks to God for. And pretty soon, we would indeed be saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, at every turn. Because you see, I think we were created to praise God. I think that's what we were created for, and I think we just forget it. I think we just forget it. I think that we go through our lives and things get routine and things get dull and problems beat us down, and pretty soon we're like, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, yeah, yeah, okay, sure. What's up next? What's up next? Instead of recognizing the wonder, the majesty, the splendor of this earth that God has put us on, and the fact that calls forth praise from us. And the fascinating thing to me about Psalm 150 is it's just not any old kind of praise psalm. Starting with verse 3, all of a sudden there's some noise, some music being made. Praise God with a blast of the ram's horn, the lyre, the harp, the tambourine and dancing, strings and flutes, clash of cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. I guess that crushes forever this whole idea that Christians shouldn't dance, shouldn't have music, and should not be excited. It kind of blows all that out of the water, doesn't it? Listen, praise God with everything. And there's this sense that you get when you read this that we should be praising God with abandon. That we should be praising God with abandon, that we should just let ourselves go and praise God. Yet most of us, when we praise God, we're doing it like this. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, people start clapping. This is church. You're not supposed to do that. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we do. And we think, wow, what would happen if the people of God just let loose and started to praise? What would happen? What would it be like? See, somebody here already knows what that word means. Hallelujah, right? But what would it be like if we just gave ourselves over to praise? What would it be like if we intentionally, on purpose, went through our week looking for places with which we could praise God, places where we could praise God? Imagine what it would be like if you started to praise God all the time. Now, some people are going to look at you and they're going to go, there he goes again. There she goes again. They've gone off that. But think about what a difference it would make to your life. Because you see, what we know is that you can only hold one thought in your mind at a time. That's all you can have. You can hold one thought at a time. Okay? You understand this, don't you? Even somebody like me whose thoughts go 150 miles an hour all the time, you only get one at a time. You're just able to switch a lot quicker, but you only get one. So what would it be like if that one thought that we had in our mind was a thought of praise and thanksgiving to God instead of a thought of complaining or a thought of how bad things were? What if we began to notice the little things around us? When you get up in the morning and you have breakfast and you drink your coffee or tea or whatever it is that you drink, do you just gulp it down, wolf it down, and you just go? Or do you kind of savor over every bite? Do you smell the coffee? Do you give thanks for it? Do you say, wow, this is great? Now, some of you, I know it takes you a few sips to get there. I'm that way. I'm not going to be praising on the first sip, but by about the fourth or fifth sip, I'm there. But you know, do you pay attention to what is going on and what is around you? You know, one of the things that I know, and I say this to parents of young children all the time, you need to pay lots of attention to what they're doing, because this time goes fast. It goes really fast. And we've said that to each other so much that it becomes a cliche, but it's true. It goes really fast. And then your children become teenagers and you go, could this not go any faster? Right? You think to yourself, could this not really? I don't want to experience everything about this. But folks, God is in every single experience, every moment of every day. God is in there if we will look, if we will pay attention, if we will be intentional about saying, where is God in this moment? And we will find God. And then pretty soon when you find God, you'll start to praise God. Even for the teenager, you will praise God. Because occasionally something wonderful comes out of their mouth. Occasionally they get it. And occasionally you look at them and you go, I love you despite the fact that you argue with every single thing that we tell you to do. And you can start to give praise for that. Because every time that happens to me, you know, I give praise. I say, gosh, this is what I must be like to God. Right? God says, do this. No. Uh-uh. Now you're wrong, but I'm God. You might be God, but I'm right. And I know, just because I know, right? And then I start to praise God, because you go, man, God, this must be just how we are with God. And you begin to praise. So if there's any one thing that could transform our lives and could transform them starting right now, you don't have to wait, you don't have to do anything special, it is to start to look for God, look for things that you can praise God for in your days. Because once you get that praise in your head, again, you can't have two things. You can't have the praise and the complaint. You can't have the thanksgiving and the gripe. You can't have them both there, so you might as well give thanks and praise to God. You might as well while you're at it. Because you see, one of the things that I have learned this week is that most of the stuff that I wanted to complain about and some of the stuff that I accidentally complained about, even though we're in the 21-day no complaint challenge, there was no reason to complain about it anyway. There was no reason to complain about it anyway. Some of the stuff that I complained about this week, or I wanted to complain about, and I tried to turn into a Thanksgiving, I can't do anything about anyway. And it's amazing to me, the shift that occurs in your thinking when you start to give thanks, when you start to have gratitude for whatever it is. It's amazing the change in your demeanor. And all of a sudden, you will start to become a positive, happy person, even if you don't want to. Even if you don't want to. Even if that's not your bent. And it all starts with being able to praise God. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, as we go through our lives, as we try to follow Jesus, as we try to become disciples, if we really understand that life is indeed a daring adventure. A daring adventure, or it is nothing. It is either one or it's the other, Helen Keller said. And how amazing, again, that a woman who could not see and could not hear was the one who had to remind us of the great adventure of life. So here is what we're left with. Are you going to praise God with reckless abandon in your life? I mean, what would it be like if we were at our favorite coffee shop and we were standing in line and they handed us our cup of coffee that is overpriced, but it's still good, and we took the lid off of it and we said, oh, thank you, that's great coffee, praise God, and praise God for you who made it. Yeah, some of you are going, man, that's a little more abandoned than I want to experience in my life, but think about it. Think about what it would be like if you praise God for everything. How many times do we look at our spouse, our significant other, and what we think about are all the things that they do wrong? Oops! How'd you know that? Well, guess what? I got one too. I know what it's like. And what would it be like if we looked at them and we gave thanks and praise for them for all the good things that they do? The fact that they put up with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. The fact that they put up with us. What would it be like? What would it be like if we started to be people of praise? People of praise instead of people of complaint. People of complaint. Because I'm going to tell you, you start going around and you start acting with reckless praise towards God, and somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to go, I don't know what you have, but I want some of it. Did it come in a pill? Did you get it back there at the coffee shop? Where is it? And it all starts, brothers and sisters, it all starts with the willingness for us to look for God intentionally in every moment of every day. And when we see God there, to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are there, because it is very true. That Hebrew word for praise, hallel, also means shine. And when you start to become a person of praise, you're going to shine like nobody's business. You're going to shine. And people are going to notice. Because one of the things that is probably one of the things that we all end up doing, and we don't even really realize sometimes, I think, that we do it, is that we get into routines, we get into patterns for our life, we get into patterns, and we just do the same thing over and over again. We don't think about it anymore. We don't think about how remarkable it is that our automobiles got us here today safely. We don't think about how remarkable it is that we all live in shelters, that when it pours the rain, we and our stuff does not get wet. We forget that. And you see, the way to change all that is to start paying attention to the marvelous world around us. And it doesn't have to be panthers, okay? It doesn't have to be panthers. It can be roofs. It can be cars. It can be your spouse, your significant other, the one that you care about. It can be your children or your parents that you give thanks and praise for. Because you see, when we start to become people who can honestly say at every turn, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, we're going to be different. Particularly when we can do what this psalm says at the end. At the very end, the very last thing this psalm says is, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Everything that breathes. Now, in the last 4 or 5 months, I've had a really tough time breathing. And I'm telling you what, when you start to not be able to breathe, you start to appreciate the times when you could breathe. And I thought of how many times in my life I didn't give thanks that I was drawing a good breath. Amen? I didn't give thanks for it. I didn't praise God for it until all of a sudden it wasn't coming so well. Then all of a sudden you go, oh man. And this psalm says, at the very, very end, this psalm says, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And wouldn't it be great with every breath that you and I took, we praise the Lord? Every breath, every breath, every breath. Praise the Lord for the breath. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because that's what this psalm is asking us to be. That's what this psalm is challenging us to be. People who give praise, people who give thanks, people who are willing to look for the goodness of God even when it's not readily apparent, and give thanks for it. So how about it? You ready to praise the Lord with some reckless abandon? At this point, I think if we praise the Lord at all with any kind of abandon, even just a little bit, God would be happy. But the truth is that if you and I will look around and we'll look closely enough, we'll find so many things to praise God for in our day that we won't be able to stop. It will be every breath. It will be every breath. And then pretty soon, you're going to become a reckless praiser that people will look at and go, wonder what's going on with them. And you can look at them and go, Psalm 150. Just go read Psalm 150. It's all in there. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I hope that today you and I will be people from now on who look for things to praise God for, to find those things, to praise God for those things, and to watch the miraculous change that's going to occur in us when we become people of praise. When we become people of praise, we will be different because of it. We will be happier because of it. We will be much more content because of it. And we may find that we're more blessed, and we have been more blessed than we ever thought we could be, when we start to be people who look around for things to say, praise the Lord for. Amen. Amen.